that. I know that sends little thrills of panic through a certain segment of the audience. Every time something plays incorrectly, every time something plays that identifies this program as being something other than this one.
At least it wasn't oldies.
not today. Not today, and probably not tomorrow, but who's really to say? All right, it's 1 minute and 3 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of... Where's my pen? Oh, thank you. AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Monday, and welcome to day 12, and so forth, yada, yada. All right, have I got more stuff here, or is just my counter space diminishing?
Oh, you know, I believe you have more stuff in that coffee mug.
Cup is in the way. Of course, I'm going to move the coffee cup because I respect all CBS regulations governing the use of liquids in the studio. Mm-hmm. Let me just take a moment here. All right, almost done. There we go. We really don't have much counter space at all in here. In fact, who is that woman? What was her name? Malia? Whatever. The girl that came in with the Teeny Others record. Mm. And we always sort of preface it, like, when people come to visit us, it really would be nice if we just had a stunt studio. In fact, when people come to see us from now on, anybody drops by with a thing or whatever, we ought to just take them into the K-Hit studio and just claim that that's her. They wouldn't know any different.
Oh. And who's in there to kick us out?
Yeah. Well done. That would be... No one! So I think from now on we'll just take people in there because we always sort of preface it when people come to visit us because I wish for them to be disappointed, which right. They invariably are. And we always tell them what a tiny workspace we have. We really are just in a broadcasting closet here. And they don't really believe us. I think that they think it's some sort of wacky, self-deprecating jibe. But then they come on in and you can just see the light go out in their eyes as they see the fact that we do in fact broadcast from what is effectively a janitor's closet. Just so you know.
Did you notice that your old prize closet office is now full of prizes?
Yes, it is. And I got kicked out of my office for this week, and I was so afraid they were going to stick me back in that closet. Because if you follow the trials and travails of this program since we came on the air here, what is it? Almost a year ago. Now, it's been like 9 months, hasn't it?
Yes.
9 months next month.
Wow, that is a long time.
Doesn't even seem possible. But I was literally, I have like a little office, and it literally was in a closet. Not a figurative closet, not some sort of, I'm not using closet as some sort of a slang term for something else. My alleged office really was literally in a closet. And I was there for about 6 months until we all passed what I believe was some sort of unannounced, unofficial, never formally spoken to us probationary period. Some sort of, are we going to keep them or are we going to just fire them and go back to something else? And so we passed, we ended some sort of, I think, off the books trial period of time. And then they gave me an actual office, which I've now been kicked out of again for this week because they're going through and they're recarpeting and they're repainting everything. And they never made any. This is really the great thing about it.
Where did the Viso go?
The Viso is in. It's funny you should ask, Tim, because they never really made any plans. There wasn't really any sort of, what do you call it, contingency. For this, because there's some carpeting guys going through, probably nobody cares about this, but there are guys going through the office every night now, and they're every night tearing up a different section of the carpet, and they're peeling the paint off a different section of the wall. And so they are slowly but surely, like three rooms at a time, repainting and recarpeting the entire office. And so they finally got to my section, and I got an email saying, like, your stuff must be out by 2 p.m. Monday, or they will all be broken and thrown away. And so because I'm going to be in the air, so I had to come in last night at like 11 o'clock. I'm like, God damn it, like packing all my stuff into boxes. And then I just have all this porn, and it's all the stuff that adult erotica from Taboo, adult video.
Plus, I gave you some as an early Christmas gift.
Plus, Tim was kind enough to let me borrow his 3D porn DVD, erotica, from Taboo that they gave us, to the Likas thing. And so they had given us three big bags of erotica, or whatever. And they've given Tim one and Sarah one. And Tim, the thing is, Tim took his home right away. I'm going to take this home today. Did you take it on the mattress? I did. Fantastic. Just a huge glass dildo sticking out of the top of a bag.
In
the
bag that had two smiling pumpkins.
And meanwhile, Sarah and I, we just like, we'll take this home one of these days. And that is just sitting in my office. So every time the janitor, I was thinking about this last night as I was moving the crap out of my room. Every janitor who's had to walk in there for anything, anytime anybody's had to get a file, anytime anybody's had to, they have to walk by a big bag that's bulging with nude women and fake phalluses.
You better watch that, because there's some valuable stuff in those bags.
Mm-hmm. Those glass dildos don't come cheap, like $100.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth it, I'm sure. Tempered glass. So last night I had to go in and pack all the crap in my office. There was no contingency plan for where people are going to work during the week that your office is being carpeted and painted. And there are fewer empty cubicles than there are people who will need them. So it's like a total Lord of the Flies, I got the conch kind of a thing. So I skipped to the head of the line. I came in last night, because everybody else is moving their stuff today. I came in last night like 11 o'clock, and I just took all my crap and I moved it into a cubicle. And I put my stapler down and like a thing of my business cards. I claimed it for the King of Spain, so it is now mine. But then so I'm moving all my stuff out of my office last night, and then I just, all that's left, two huge bags of pornography. Pornography and dildos. And the Rick Emerson story. And then I realized, well, I can't just leave these in the cubicle, because that's going to... I mean, I know that we have an edgy radio program and all, but that's almost certainly going to get me a visit from the HR woman. Everybody's having to walk by my desk, and it's just big bottles of lube sitting by my stapler. And so, but what they're doing is the movers are, if there's a bunch of just crap that you can't fit in your cubicle, if you put it into boxes, they will put it in temporary storage. So I have boxed up all the porn. And I labeled it office supplies.
Oh, good.
And the best part about this is...
Send the less movements.
It'll end up on Sumner Redstone's desk. What are these? What was I saying? Oh, but so there's two huge bags of adult accessories. And so I put them into a box and I labeled them like Rick Emerson's office supplies. Which is funny on a couple different levels, because, A, you know, here's what's going to happen. A, it'll be lost, and I'll never see it again. And somebody will get the gift of, phallic objects. B, somebody will open it looking for a stapler or looking for, like, a staple remover, a paperweight or something, and they'll go, Emerson's got some in his office supplies, let me look. And they'll open it, and it'll just be a bunch of, like skin films. Or C, and this is the best part. See, there will be a wacky mix-up because there's another guy named Rick here, and you know, or that somewhere within CBS there will be like another guy named like Rick, like H. Emerson or something, and like it'll go there, and like I'll get his stuff, and you'll cut to me in my office sitcom style as I'm opening the boxes as Rick, and it'll be just, you know, whatever. It'll just be like some hats. And then you immediately cut to, like, St. Louis, where there's like, Rick H. Emerson opening his box, and wah, 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 and it's just, he opens it, just dildos fall out by the dozens. That's a long, boring story. Anyway, so I have no office. How did I even get onto this subject? Tim, this is your fault, isn't it? You asked me something about...
I don't remember asking anything.
I have nothing. It's 503-733-2970. Hello and welcome to Monday. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Oh, yeah. So, Donna Mike opening. So, sorry about that. That's what I was going to say, like an hour ago. It's 503-733-2970. Much to get to today. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, official stenographer of the Rick Emerson Program.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
How's your day? How's your weekend? How's life?
Oh, weekend was excellent.
That's right, because you got paid for doing a whole lot of nothing this weekend.
I did. Saturday off, yeah. Sunday off, yeah. And today's my day off. Yeah. It's the first time in a long time. I got 3 days in a row off.
Yeah, it's a hard life. And see, that's deceptive when you say that, for the first time in a long time. Because, let me ask you this. You don't have to give me the actual amount, but when you go in on your day off, that's still like when you, because you're like, I haven't had a day off in 100 days. But when you go in on your day off, that's like time and a half, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's, I have no sympathy for you.
No.
I mean, I just don't.
That's why I volunteer to go in on my day off most of the time.
Yeah, well, see,
it's well worth the money.
It's exactly. It's like that. This thing with my wife. I mean, God love her, but it is. My wife will just sit there, and it is borderline emasculating when I because she will go in. Sometimes she will do this sort of triple thing. Well, she'll go in like on a graveyard shift on a weekend holiday on her day off, and then I think just to taunt me. She'll actually sit down with a pen and paper to calculate what the differential is because it's actually so large she can't tally it in her head. She's like, how much more am I making per hour tonight? Let's find out. And then she'll sit there and she'll add it up. You know, and she'll make on a night what I make in like a 3-week period, which is, you know, which is alternately great and embarrassing. So, what can you do? All right.
Hey, you got a sugar mama.
Yes, it really, really is true. Okay. And let me see if I can find my, where's my, what are we doing today? And hold on 1 second. Okay. All right, here's what we got. I have to preface this by saying I did have what I believe was today's worst story ever. I thought it was worse than the guy and the dog and the daycare and the And then I thought it was worse than the woman with the lead, you know, the dog leash that snapped back and her eyeball being all flat. And then there was some terrible, oh yeah, the last Friday with the people who were drenched in the human waste and other byproducts. I had that. I had what I thought was an even worse story today. But here's the thing about the internet. You got to be real careful about this. Because there's a few trusted name brands. I pulled this story out of Yahoo this morning, and then only, and I'm glad I realized this before it was too late, only at the last moment did I realize that it is a Yahoo news story, but it originated in the Weekly World News. And you have to be real careful with that byline, because I would have read it, and it was the best story ever. It was, somebody sent it to me. Who was it that sent it? Karen sent it to me. Man dates woman on internet for 6 months, finds out she's his mother. And I was, best story ever! And then I printed it out, I was all ready to read it, and it turns out the Weekly World News, so I will not be reading that today. What I do have today, though, is a sex tape you probably have heard about this morning, and a sex tape you may not have heard about this morning. Sarah's probably heard about it, but you haven't. Let's see, news that hurts. We'll see if Lisa Goddard brings up her recent engagement. We'll answer the question, how hungover is Clyde Lewis? And we will talk to Peter Carlin. Plus, we will finally play DOA by Blood Rock.
Are we ever going to play that Whoopi Goldberg thing, too?
I've got that, too.
Okay.
Got that right here. So there you go. So we've got sex tapes 1 and 2, news that hurts, Lisa Goddard's engagement, and does she mention it? Now, that'll count either way, by the way. She didn't have to mention it. We're just seeing if she does. Because here's the thing is that Jim Rube mentioned it, didn't he?
Yes.
That's how we learned. So we'll see if she actually mentioned it. We're just going to find out. Let's see. Oh, and we'd like to say hello to Laura Caviezel this morning, who Sarah Dillon suspects is secretly monitoring the program to see if we talk about her. We do, often. And we'll answer the question, how hungover is Clyde Lewis? That's what we got.
Excellent. Are we going to be giving away some tickets today?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Let me find out. Scotty J., do we have just the one pair of tickets, or do we have, like, hundreds of pairs of tickets? I know we have the front row tickets with backstage and so forth. Is that it? Is that the ball game? Is that the final pair? We'll find out. Okay, yeah. I believe we are, but I'm not going to swear to it. I do have an idea for how we're going to give them away, but it depends on whether or not we can kind of get it put together. So there you go.
Excellent. Sex tape you know and one you don't.
Yes.
Lisa Goddard, news that hurt Peter Carlin, Clyde, and how drunk he is. DOA Blood Rock and Whoopi in the morning.
There you go. That's it. That's exactly what we're going to do. All right.
Of course, we're at 42.
42. I'm tempted just to leave that there forever, but no, we'll... We'll try to get to all of that stuff today. All right. Hey, the question is, did you see Borat this weekend?
I did not.
You did not.
I did not. I have to get out and see that, but I had my kids this weekend. You know, wife was gone, so it was just me, and that's not a movie I want to take my kids to.
You sound really happy about this weekend. All right.
No, I had a great time. I worked in the yard most of the weekend, cleaned the gutters, stuff like that. So.
Is that just any place that they aren't? The kids are outside, you're in there doing laundry. If the kids are inside, you're doing the yard.
No, I had them out there. I was paying them to help me. Hold the bag open so I could rake leaves into it.
You actually pay your children? You don't do the whole, you get paid in room and board. Shut your yap.
No, my 8-year-old's got more money than I do because he's been doing the yard across the street and doing my mom's yard. So he's been making like $5 a week.
Well, let's see to that. He's going to sell the crack. So there you go.
Oh.
All right. Thank you, sir. We will check in with you at the end of the program.
I'm going to just let you know, I'm going to call in about 10 minutes early today.
Because
I have an appointment to be at.
All right. Well, we will expect you around 250 then.
About 250.
Thank you. There you go. There's a mailman, Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. We're joined today as always. Lovely intelligence, Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I'm very well.
You got an exciting new nail color.
I do.
Now, are those fake nails, or is that real nails
that
are painted?
They are 100% fake.
Now, what are fake nails? Are those just made out of plastic, or are they made out of ground up bits of other people's fingernails?
It's really cool. It's actually this acrylic. So they take this this liquid and then this powder, and they paint it onto your nails in the shape of a nail. And then it dries, and it's like this clear nail.
Now, did you get your nails painted for the exciting hip-hop show that you're going to be going to tonight?
No.
Yeah.
No, but it's convenient.
Now, when did the Ohm turn into a hip-hop club, or whatever they call it?
I don't know. It's called Disjecta. I don't know. I haven't been there. I went to Ohm like once 3 years ago, so I don't know if it's next door to it or if it's Ohm, but I'm pretty sure it replaced Ohm.
Because Ohm was... It was all blah, blah, Ohm, Sweet Home. It was owned by, what's his name, the guy from the Dan Reed Network. And then it was, and I don't even know who played there, though. It was always like a bunch of alternative acts that I was not interested in.
And like a lot of techno, I think.
Yeah, it was like, it was a bunch of like stoned out kids with glow sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like wiggling around the trance music.
It's kind of in like a creepy area. I remember the one time I went there, you know, it's right underneath the Burnside Bridge. It's dark. It's right next to the Max track.
You're going to be killed.
Thanks.
Nate will be with you.
And I'm seeing some guy named POS, and I'm like this little white girl who doesn't know any of his music.
Yeah.
You'll
be popular.
Yes.
All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
You can't take Highway 18 to Otis right now. It's because 100 trees blew down and the highway is closed. Take Highway 22 from Hebo instead.
Hebo?
Hebo to Otis. And there's nothing in between the two towns.
Hebo to Otis.
Mm-hmm.
Hebo to Otis sounds like some sort of a... That's like Jerry Reed's sequel to Eastbound and Down or something. Hebo to Otis. All right. That'd be like... Hebo to Otis... If you were stoned... I swear to God, I wish Clyde was here in stone. Just so I could go, Hebo to Otis. Damn. That's like saying gazebo or macadamia. If you are high or drunk or just really, really tired, you say macadamia to yourself like 100 times, you will wet yourself. You giggle like a smoker. Okay, so Hebo to Otis.
There is a sign there that says Highway 22 Hebo. Take that one if you want to get to Otis. Right down by Spirit Mountain Casino.
Hebo.
H-E-B-O. Hebo.
Man, fantastic.
We don't know who that town is named after. Mr. Hebo, apparently.
What else, Tim Riley?
Old President Bush sends in his men to rescue his son, President Bush, from the conservative brainwashing he received. Barat makes $47 million. The impoverished villagers portrayed in that movie feel betrayed. Drake college students in the movie feel betrayed. Bed and breakfast keepers in the movie feel betrayed. And everyone's mad because he made $47 million.
Fantastic. Well, as you were noting... Oh, and he got worked over,
he got
right? He got beaten up. Was it as Borat or was it as Sasha?
As Borat.
Well, he should have known by
on
now.
On the streets of New York, of all places.
Well, he was out with a friend and he decided to start to be quirky to the wrong man.
No. That's the thing is once the jig is up, you got to be able to spot that because people will beat you senseless. He can probably never make a sequel to it. That's the thing, because it's so... The popularity of that character is going to be his undoing. Mm. Because he's got the three. He's got Ali G, he's got Borat, and then he's got the gay Austrian fashion designer, whatever that character's name is.
They're actually making a movie of that now, too.
Well, that's the thing. Well, that guy's pretty brilliant, though, because those characters are nothing alike. They don't bear any resemblance to one another. But he's probably screwed on Borat. He's going to have to milk this one for all he's worth. Yep. Although, as you were noting this morning, there's only going to be $10 in profit left once they get done settling lawsuits with everybody. So I tried again to see
this
weekend.
Paid everybody like $10.
Yeah.
And I hadn't said a statement.
Well, but I tried to see it this weekend, and it's not just that it was at number one, it's that it actually increased, because it's a maxim in the movie business, that even if you're a big hit, your take gradually grows, goes down every week. That it's, you know, they'll say, well, I only had a 15% drop-off, but this actually went up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they increased the number of theaters, but
I started the suburbs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Full of people with mullets. All madly applauding the trailer for Jack Black.
Was the trailer for that horrible Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Was it the bad? Was it the
it's stupid.
Is it the one with Robin Williams?
Yeah. Robin Williams is in everything. I mean,
yeah. So I heard
that. Don't look too far to find.
He really is lately.
It's horrible.
I heard that the trailers before Borat that were just terrible. That it was just for a bunch of crap that couldn't be more different.
Right.
So all right, but you give it a strong thumbs up.
Oh, definitely. I had a good time. Yeah.
All right. Mm. All right. Let's see. And so, what else? I want to get a couple other things done before we break. Man, there is again. Let me ask you this. Do you guys, this is completely not what I was going to talk about, but do you guys get this? Do you ever get the sensation like your cell phone is vibrating in your pocket, but you don't have your cell phone in your pocket?
Yes.
Tim?
Nobody ever calls me.
I'm starting to get the sensation to your friends when you really don't.
I've been getting a lot of emails lately, though, asking me to have lunch and to catch up on things.
Oh, these are people who want to borrow money or who want a job.
Who
right?
I haven't seen for like at least 10 years.
And these are people who undoubtedly didn't call you back or offer to help you in any way when you were unemployed.
That's correct.
Is that what
yes.
it is? It's a whole lot.
I had a couple of those.
Yeah.
I think we all do, huh?
You know what it is? It's like...
I think since since the last ratings book where we... Oh, we're not allowed to talk about that, are we? Well, we trounced everything in this time period.
Can I say we're allowed to? We simply...
And due to the present political situation, I'm sure it's going to happen a lot more.
I
with annoying frequency to our enemies.
We will march on a road of bones to victory.
A lot more people are going to want to be catching up in the coming months.
Streets will run red with the blood of the non-believers and stuff. No, I prefer to let the work speak for itself. We will sleep on a bed of severed heads. Anywho, but it's like, well, you know what it is with your friends who have jobs and your friends who don't? It's like I use Yahoo Mail for a lot of stuff, and there's this thing, it's a little icon, a little smiley face next to people's addresses in Yahoo. I think Gmail might have the same thing, I don't know, but it lights up when they're online, like on MySpace. You go to somebody's profile in MySpace, and there's a little thing that says online now, and so you can keep track of who's currently logged in and who's not. That's how a lot of our, I won't call them friends, a lot of people we know are, where it says currently employed, and it's like, and it's like on MySpace. If somebody's online, you're more likely to message them. If they're offline, there's no point because they're not around. So it is with Tim and Sarah and myself. We walk around with little icons next to us in real life, everywhere we go, and they either say employed or unemployed. And when we're unemployed, no one calls, no one emails, no one talks to us, no one says hello.
I believe you me, we might be nice to you now, but we remember who you are.
Oh, no, that's... No,
you might be a buddy of mine, we might be talking, but if we didn't talk for a year when we weren't on the show, I remember.
That's... No, and I
and everyone is tremendously cruel to you.
Yeah.
from the soda jerk to the cashier at the supermarket. They know they can get away with it.
Oh, I got a long memory.
And you stop getting invited to things.
List.
Yes,
then all of a sudden the invites come back. It's like, where were those?
Exactly.
I
remember people who remembered us. That's who I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody else is dead to me. I don't even know what I was talking about. Well, all right.
What was the question?
I don't know. I got this thing where, like, my pocket will buzz, and yet the cell phone isn't in there, and it's freaking me out. Because it's like, I'll be doing something, and it distresses me. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm myself, I've got to answer my... And then I reach into my pocket, no cell phone. And then you just wonder if your body's self-destructing. Like, if you get this phantom cell phone buzz. So you get it, too, because that's a thing that... Because I wonder if it's just me. It's like, and you know what it is? This is
because I think when you know you have your phone on vibrate, you're always anticipating it ringing.
But why would my thigh just start buzzing? That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would my muscles just be going... You know, it just, that's got to be, is it like enough calcium or iron? Or am I like a bad thyroid or something? Does that make any sense? It's sort of a kinesthetic version of that thinking you're always hearing your cell phone ringing. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not even talking about when I'm around other people with cell phones, just walking down the street in my car. We have talked about this, but in my car listening to a CD, and I'll get to a certain point in the song, and I'll swear to God that there's a cell phone ring happening somewhere. And I look at the radio, and I don't know, yet there's no cell phone. Phone's not ringing, but I swear to God, in the car, I heard their phone ring. That's what it's like with thinking that my cell phone is buzzing in my pocket, yet I don't even have it. And the
you're
whole
all
thing
kinds
freaks
of crazy.
Me out. No, it freaks me out, the whole thing. All right. Well, we got Lisa Goddard, so we got a break because I don't even have time to talk about. You don't even want to know from Clyde.
I cannot wait to hear the story. I
want to hear
yet.
The story too.
All right,
as soon as possible.
That's Tim Riley response 147. Yes, I also cannot wait to hear the story later on this radio program. You're like one of those generic liners. Did you ever hear those generic liners on a music station from some artist who clearly wasn't in the room and had no idea? I used to have a whole bunch. I had one from Sting, and it was, "Hello, this is Sting, and you're listening to my favorite radio station." And that's all. That's all it said. I should bring it in. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rick Emerson program. We'll return next. You stay there. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Just now, Sarah Dillon was sprinting down the hallway carrying a plate of chicken nuggets.
There's spinach nuggets.
You know, there's something disturbing about food being put into a form that it's fundamentally not supposed to be in, like a spinach nugget.
Oh, they're so good, though.
It's like...
They taste like little, like, spring rolls, almost.
It'd be like having chicken leaves. It doesn't make any sense. It makes your head hurt. It's 503, or maybe it's just me. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. And you know what we got today is lots of small pieces of news, none of whom, and I was trying to put them under the bear. I'm doing that thing again, right, where Lisa's on hold of it, and I'm just rambling on about a bunch of crap nobody cares about. Okay, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. How are you, sister?
Oh, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm trying to organize my news, and I'm failing.
Rick, I don't want to get too much into this, but I want to prepare your listeners for some thinking that I'm going to need them to do down the line.
Okay.
I actually have just gotten engaged.
Really?
Really. And down the line, I'm going to need your listeners to help me figure out the last name situation.
Okay. Oh, how so?
What, do I take the last name? Do I not? I know. Now, I am the one veering us tragically off course. But just prepare yourself.
Does he want you to take his last name?
Yeah, you know, we're in talks. We haven't figured it out yet.
Well, first of all, congratulations from all of us at our family to everybody at your family. So congratulations from the Rick Emerson, the show staff, listeners, etc. Well, you seem like a 21st century gal.
Well, I mean, I'm really traditional on this stuff. I would love to take the man's last name, but
come on, you're your own person, Lisa Goddard.
You try. But it's his last name, honestly, I love him. So I love this man enormously, but his last name's a little weird, and he admits it too. So we're trying to figure it out.
Is it Woodcock?
It is not. It is Forbert.
Can you spell that for me?
S-P-O-R-B as in boy, E-R-T.
Sporbert?
Sporbert.
Wait, T or B or P?
Right. I'll narrowly missed being a 1980s arcade game.
S-S-P as in Paul?
S-P as in Paul.
Sporbert.
Sporbert?
That's...
No,
I'm sure he's a charming man with a sweet spirit and everything, but that's...
wonderful. You know, and he, from the get-go, he said, listen, I don't have the greatest last name. I'm nervous if a girl's ever going to marry me because of my last name.
At least he's zen with it.
But forget that. It doesn't matter, you know, which I definitely think. But now that we're at this point, who knows what we're going to do.
Well, hey, Lisa, how did he do it?
Oh, that's a lot. He actually invited 30 of my friends to this amphitheater in the woods, told me we were going for a hike, and surprised me with all of them coming out.
You are making this up.
I am not making this up. And he had a video that he had made of all of our photos, and everyone sat around watching, and then they cleared the stage, and it was amazing.
Why did...
Oh, my God. That's so sweet.
Your whole...
Let me ask the girl question. How long have you guys been together?
She's going to leave the room.
I'm sorry. You know, poor Congress is suffering. We've been together, 2 years in January.
That is so sweet. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So think about Forbert, Goddard, maybe a third option. I don't know.
The fact that his name makes me laugh is not a good sign.
Yes.
Did you know he was a Sporbert when you met him?
Yes, he was Jason Sporbert when I met him. The Sporbert.
I'm sorry. Are you of the Connecticut Sporberts?
He is of the Connecticut Sporbert.
I was just kidding. Really?
Yeah, I think there's 5 of them.
Yeah, okay.
He's one.
Well, look, here's the thing, and I don't mean to pry into one's personal life. I'm simply saying... No, I do, but, you know, I won't, because Rick Emerson is not that guy. All I'm saying is, and this is no one's business but your own, but in the future, if you decide to have a family together,
right,
you really have to consider the fact that if your children have the last name of Sporbert, they will be beaten on an almost daily basis by other students.
And that's, I mean, he's a tough guy because of that.
Yeah,
So I said, do you want to, you know, so that's an issue for him. He's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but if you got girls, it's just going to be... Can I just say this? I don't know if you all watched the mid-80s sitcom Bosom Buddies, starring Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari.
Of course.
Okay, so among the stars of Bosom Buddies, Tom Hanks, Peter Scolari, Donna Dixon, and, wait for it, she was also in Back to the Future, Wendy Jo Sperber. Now, Sperber is an unpleasant name because it sounds, first of all, we can just say it sounds sort of crude in a way that no one can really put one's finger on. I can't really explain why Wendy Jo Sperber sounds, it sounds like something that would be in one of those new online urban dictionaries, a word that is not generally accepted to have a meaning, but does have a meaning, which is invariably crude.
Yeah, frat boys would throw around.
I would say that Goddard's kind of a cool name, though. It's got a strong consonant sound to it. It's two syllables.
Right. It's okay. You know, I like it's a fine, you know, it's a good name. Father of rocketry, Robert H. Goddard, it's good stuff. But, you know, I really always was like, oh, you know, I'm traditional. We'll have a little family with the whatever. So it'll be great. But, you know, he doesn't like his last name. And
does he know it's like $50 to change the... How old is he?
He is 35.
35? He's been emancipated for 17 years. Where is this man's gumption? You get down to City Hall, $50. You know, he could be, he could change his name to Brock Stone or something.
It's true. It's true. You know, and the door is not completely closed to a third option.
Yeah, hold on. I'm Jason Sporbert. So there could be a, you could do some sort of emerging, Jason, like a Lisa Godbert.
Yeah, you know, Lisa, friends do call us Godbert, as a matter of fact.
Really, do they?
They do.
Are you sure that you guys aren't, in fact, the characters in some weird romantic comedy that I am dreaming late at night or something? Because that's kind of how this sounds. What with the 30 people and the amphitheater and the cute blended name and the so forth?
And you know, Sarah will appreciate this. I didn't wash my hair that morning. I had almost no makeup on. You know, we're going for a hike in the woods, for goodness sake.
And oh, he loves you for you.
Are there lots of photographs of you with, like, your unwashed hair looking embarrassed?
Yeah, there's, like, 200 photos that my friend sent.
Fantastic.
Ay.
Well, you'll have to let us know when you're registered so the Rick Emerson Show can buy you something pretty.
All right. Well, I know how you're feeling, how you and Laura are still working out the situation with her wedding, but, you know, count on an invite.
See, we're entering into a tricky situation because my wife's name is Lara, and so there's all kinds of opportunities for mix-up here as we engage in these discussions. But yeah, well, we most of our mental real estate is right now dedicated toward Laura Caviezel's wedding, which, by the way, seems to have been in the works for about 15 years now. You tell that woman to hurry it up and get it over with so we can quit worrying about it.
You know, I'm benefiting off of that. She has done a lot of work. She's sending me crazy links. It's fantastic.
Crazy being the optimum word, I think.
I'm not saying that. She is awesome.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. It's just one side note, though, and this is directed at you, Jason Sporbert. Here's the thing. Every guy knows this. See, God forbid if Sarah ever gets married, because Aunt Danica's, because Sarah's dating this guy, Nate, and he's like in a band, and he's all like angry looking, and he looks like a guy that'd be setting puppies on fire and everything, and yet he's like...
No, he doesn't.
I'm saying he's a very aggressive looking guy. He's a punk, you know, rock guy and whatever, and he looks all, but he's got a heart of gold, and inside there's a little boy that just needs to be held, and all that stuff, and so here's the thing. So I know that if, and again, if in the future I know that if Nate should decide to propose, you guys should get married, I know that he's going to do some crap where he has 1,000 hot air balloons in the sky spelling out your name, and then they're all going to throw confetti, and the confetti in the air, it's going to turn into doves in the air, and then the doves will come and carry you away to a land of apricot ponds and, you know, marshmallow trees. And meanwhile, there's me.
You got married on a beach, though. It was really pretty.
Do you know how I proposed to my wife, Lisa?
No.
We were sitting on the sofa eating popcorn watching the made-for-television movie about Martha Stewart starring Cybill Shepherd.
Oh, I love that one.
And we're sitting there watching Martha Incorporated starring Cybill Shepherd, and I swear to God this is what happens. We were sitting there, and I have a mouthful of like sour cream and onion-flavored microwave popcorn. We're sitting there on the sofa, and I believe I'm wearing my boxer shorts and a Motley Crue shirt. And in a commercial break, I turn to her with a mouthful of popcorn. This is a totally true story. And I turn to her, and I go, "Are you married?" And she goes, "What?" And I go, "No, you're going to get married. No, I got a wedding." And she says, "Really?" And I went, "Yeah, why not?" And she said, "Okay." And I went, "All right." And then we just went back to watching the Cybill Shepherd movie. So there you go.
Wow.
But yet you were married on a beach, so I don't completely buy this.
No.
He was even barefoot. I had to help him pick out his beach attire.
There was like three people. The only good thing about that was that there was a surfer who walked. I mean, the whole thing was pretty cool, but I'm saying it was distinguished by the fact that a surfer walked right through the middle of the ceremony. If you look at the wedding photos, there's...
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah, there's the minister, and then there's my wife, and there's I, and then there's a guy with a surfboard, totally stoned and oblivious to us, walking right through the middle of the ceremony.
Wow.
I will, as one final note, and I swear to God we'll talk about news here in a second, just to say this. There are a whole breed of guys out there, Jason Sporbert, who ruin this for all other guys. My brother, James, is another one of these guys, who he proposed to his now wife. She walked into her dorm room, she had a large dorm room, which he had filled with hundreds and hundreds of white, pink, and red balloons, all of them numbered. She had to pop the balloons in order. Each of the balloons had a little card inside saying how much he loved her and one of the reasons why he was so lucky to have her as his girlfriend. And then you go all the way to the end, and it like told her to, I don't know, go up to the rooftop where there was like a rose orchard, and like inside one of the blooms was like a note telling her to go to some other place where there was a ring. And it's just, you know, and meanwhile, again, I'm on the sofa with a mouthful of popcorn.
Are you plugging Lara's ears every time you hear a story like that?
Well, she knows. She knows that I have, that I'm effectively lame in all ways.
Challenge.
All right, I'm not bitter about it. Let's move forward.
No, I think you're a very good husband. I see you. No, you're very doting and sweet.
Just say it. Say that I don't wear the pants.
You're the girl.
Say it. I'm totally whipped. All right. Well, let's... there's just all of this stuff going on. Let's transit. Speaking of totally whipped, let's talk about our good friend Donald Rumsfeld. Now, I have a couple questions about this. Is it true that having been booted out of his job as Secretary of Defense, that he... this doesn't seem like it could be true, that he cannot be subpoenaed to testify before Congress.
No, I believe Congress can subpoena anyone it wants to. I'll check on that.
That's what I thought, and immediately all of these conspiracy guys were emailing me, like, you know what this means? He cannot be... And I thought, like, anybody in the world that Congress wanted to testify, they could get you dragged to, you know, up there to testify. So,
well, I thought that they could, but I don't know.
Is there any sort of truth to this story that floated around the Drudge Report for a couple of days that other countries are looking into trying or at least having a very stern investigation into some of our practices? Germany was the country that they mentioned.
They're talking about it, but it's hard to say if that's really going to happen, because all of these countries have, you know, they're not like us. We have the two parties. A lot of these countries have four or five or six parties running their government, and so one guy from the Green Party can say, we're going to start this investigation. And, you know, I don't know enough about the European parliamentary process, but what I understand from that story is that it's a possibility. People are talking about it, but it doesn't mean that they really are going to have major investigations, that kind of thing.
And, I mean, so Rumsfeld, has there been any sort of, and just, this, we care about this on a personal level, just because the guy has such a weird negative charisma. Has there been any discussion about, any speculation about what he's going to do at this point?
You know, no, it's just starting now. I think the focus, and he may be really benefiting from the fact that everyone is focused on Congress, on the shakeup over here. No one's really paying a lot of attention to him, but certainly he would have a huge spectrum of jobs available to him if he wants one. Any kind of consulting in the defense sector, and those are high money jobs, would be his for the asking. Certainly, I'm sure Halliburton, they'd make room, but yeah, he would not have trouble getting any kind of consulting job. Or even going on the speaker circuit. I know that sounds funny, but it's a possibility.
I know. I've made this observation many, many times. We just have one of those conferences that they come to town where they pack it full of people, and you know, do the people at your workplace or office need motivating? Our top team of motivation expert seminars will tell you how to achieve greater results in the sales department. You know, and it's all of these where you pay like $100 and you truck a bunch of people from your office who aren't making their sales quotas on a bus to like some forum somewhere, and it's always the same thing. It's always an athlete. It's always either Zig Ziglar or Tom Powers or Tom Hopkins, and it's always somebody from the first Gulf War, and then someone who just left a job at a political administration. So it's always like either Colin Powell or Norman Schwarzkopf or Rudy Giuliani, and then some sub Anthony Robbins guy. So that's exactly what this guy could be doing. Let's work backward here. So
right.
Rumsfeld gone. All right, which then is a result of this election, which in turn leaves George W. Bush with this lame duck Congress. And I know we talked a little bit about this last week, but again, there's this question of is he going to be able to ram anything through this Congress, or are the remaining Congress people who are going to be there for the changeover just going to be so terrified of further alienating the voters that they're going to put the kibosh in any of Bush's agenda?
I think it's going to be one of those where you've got the two brothers standing next to each other for the photo, smiling, and behind their backs, they're kind of hitting each other.
Fantastic.
I think that Republicans really do want to get through John Bolton as UN ambassador, and that's not going to happen. They really do want to pass this NSA wiretap legislation that Arlen Specter proposed way back when, before they broke for the elections. And that may have a chance. It's hard to say on that. They do have some other big items, the Indian nuclear pact, which is controversial around the world, but that looks like it might get through as well. But I think for the most part, people are playing it cool. I think people know that everyone has to come to the middle, and they have to at least act nice for now. Then we'll see what happens in January. Democrats are saying our number one priority is bipartisanship. That's bad news for you, Rick, if it really happens.
Yeah.
A lot of people are waiting to see.
Yeah, but I think that they're fundamentally incapable of telling the truth about anything. So when they say it's bipartisanship, they're still sharpening the knives. It's got to be. And let's talk about John Bolton for a second. Just to say this, but he seems like a phenomenally unlikable person. I mean, you talk about a guy where they just surgically removed any and all charm and charisma that a human being might ever have had. I mean, he seems like an absolute jerk. I mean, it is a guy that is almost certainly going to be disliked intensely by any Democrats that may hold sway over his future.
You know, I think he's had an extreme makeover personality-wise in the last year. He has been a little bit more bouncy in front of the cameras, just a little bit smiled every now and then, which he never used to do. I think he knows that his personality is the issue when it comes to him. People think that he is contemptuous, that he is harsh and rude to people under him and perhaps people who are on his same level. And I think all of that is coming back to bite him, and I think that's why he's not going to be reappointed, even though in the last year he has clearly made an effort to try and reach across some of those gaps.
Well, you know, he's
coming to his side a little bit more in the last few months.
He is another one of those guys, though, that that had what George Orwell believed. I believe George Orwell referred to this as the, God, he called it the deceit of power, the illusion of power. I forget what his term was, but George Orwell had this term. It was the something of power, and it was the belief that things will remain always as they are at this moment, and the sort of blindness to the fact that things in the blink of an eye can suddenly go very topsy-turvy on you. And you know, Bolton just thought his whole the key to his success was just to be really outspoken and really loud and completely dismissive of anybody who disagreed with him, and that is going to come back and screw that guy right to the wall. So,
and you figure the Bush administration really has been playing a huge game of bluff just for the last few months, maybe for longer than that, depending on your argument. But they really were saying, no, everything's going great in Iraq, and saying Rumsfeld's here to stay, just saying that a week and a half ago, clearly bluffing, and now they've been caught in that bluff, and everybody, including John Bolton, who's attached, is really on the ropes.
Speaking of that, I saw the best photo this weekend, and I know we're running really late here, but I saw the best photo, and it was of Karl Rove checking his BlackBerry at the moment when he got... It was just like that video of Kevin Federline being broken up with via text message by Britney Spears. It was this snapshot of Karl Rove checking his BlackBerry just as the results start to come in, you know, learning that they were going to lose the House. It really just... It just gave me a warm glow all over. It really did. I know that we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about this, but again, working our way backward now, we go back from the fact that they lost Congress to the tip of one of the many icebergs that sunk the good ship Bush, which was the whole Mark Foley thing. And you, now, is it true that you were the first person to interview this Lane Hudson guy, and he's the Stop Sex Predators guy, and he was the one who broke this whole story about Mark Foley and the teenage page, right?
He was the first one to publish on the web, yes. We did get the first broadcast interview. I interviewed him about the same time that the L.A. Times did, so.
And is he just some freak with a grudge, or is he...
He is a young, gay, political man who says that he got these emails over the summer. He tried to shop them around, tried to get the L.A. Times to print the story when the newspaper wouldn't. He wanted to put them on the web because he says he's not saying where he got them exactly, but... I know that that copies of them were circulated in the gay community here in Washington, and I know that's where he got them. He trusts his source. But he also says he knew it was right because he himself, when he was 18, met Foley in a bar, and they exchanged, you guessed it, emails. And he says those emails were never explicit, but he said they were inappropriate, and he cut off contact with Foley. And so when he saw these other emails, he said, this guy is... prowling around for young men in Washington, and I think it's wrong. And so he put up these emails. A lot of people didn't believe it. Wonkette, in fact, looked at his site and did a big story debunking it, saying it was false. But, of course, just 4 days later, the whole story blew up.
I got to say, it is worth noting, by the way, that Tim Riley was telling me when I came in this morning. I TiVo'd but did not watch Real Time with Bill Maher. It is worth noting that Bill Maher backed down from his claim that he was going to out a bunch of gay Republican higher-ups. After that business of... Because HBO is owned by the same company that owns CNN, I do believe. Y'all are Time Warner.
That's right.
And it's worth noting that he talked about that on... He talked about Ken Melman on Tuesday. It was edited out by the time it hit the West Coast feed. He said that he was going to do more discussion of that on Friday, and mysteriously enough, it never happened, not in any way. So,
That's right. It was fascinating. It's true. Well, it's interesting, this young man, Lane Hudson, lost his job. He was working for the Human Rights Campaign, which is a well-known gay organization, and he was one of their political operatives in Michigan. He was fired because he used his laptop to send emails relating to the blog, and of course, the HRC didn't want it to look like they were going after Republicans like this, that they were trying to fish out anonymous websites and do all of these things to get rid of Mark Foley. So they fired him on the spot, and he's still looking for a job.
All right. Hey, somebody has suggested here that we simply just come up with a brand new name for both you and your fiancé, Jason Sporbert.
You know, we are really thinking about it.
Okay, well, so I'll tell you what. We have learned one thing over many years with this audience here in Portland. Is we put our brain power through it, we can come up with almost anything. Anytime we need help naming anything, anytime we need help with a theme, anytime we need to brainstorm the solution, anything, the audience always comes up with it.
That's right. See, brilliant. And there's some time here because we haven't even set a date yet. We don't know. We've got time.
What do you want the name to convey? Are you thinking grace? Are you thinking power? Are you thinking sophistication and a good family background? You give me a couple parameters, I can come up with a name for you.
How about intrigue?
Intrigue.
Delightful intrigue.
Wait, hold on. There you go. Delightful intrigue. I'm picturing you with a fedora, like, roguishly pulled down at a rakish angle over one eye.
Sure.
Delightful intrigue. All right.
All right, and before we go, I've got to do our loose ends, end of the segment. The deal is that Congress can subpoena basically anyone if they don't show up. They could be charged with obstructing Congress, a year in prison.
Fantastic. That. Excellent.
And I wonder with the George Orwell, it's possible that he had this illusion of power. Are you thinking maybe of Nietzsche and will to power?
You think will to power, but... Yeah, this is cue the political dork segment of the program. Now, will to power, as I understood it, was the idea about the transmogrification of one's desire into action.
That's right. I didn't know if that's what you were talking about. And this idea of sort of the Nietzsche was all into the Uberman, the man whose will is more important than...
I can't remember. I discovered this phrase, I believe it was in a book that Dick Morris put out about a year and a half ago called Power Plays.
And all right, well, I keep looking around.
Yeah, so I got to figure it out. All right, Lisa Goddard, I know we're way over time here. I will let you go. We'll talk to you in the very near future. And again, congratulations on your engagement from all of us here at the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay.
All right, talk to you soon, sister.
All right.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, on the Hill in D.C. I was graceful.
Oh, that must hurt.
I like how you're all just twitching. So, tell me all about how we proposed, Lisa, says Sarah. Well, Rick Emerson is right here. It's okay. I'm going to ignore this email, by the way, that says... Rick, it's clear as day. Suggest the name of Lisa Emerson. See, I did not say that, because Rick Emerson is not that guy. Rick Emerson
is
tactful.
Creepy.
I didn't say it. Some guy.
Oh, but you read it. You wanted to say it, which is why you're reading it out loud.
But you will note that I did not read it to Lisa Goddard, because that would be... Now I have to ask this. Now, did you tell her to mention that?
No.
That's weird.
I didn't call today.
She did?
Scotty did.
Scotty, did you... Now, you have to...
I don't think Scotty...
All right, we have to...
Scotty J. And
we have to break.
Cassidy. I don't know what else to say.
This whole hour done already? I didn't even get to this thing about the sex tape. Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J., how are you, sir?
Good morning.
Did you ask Lisa to mention that?
No.
You can be honest.
No, she, but she did start out this morning by saying, how's Rick doing today?
Uh-oh.
She sounded awful.
Oh, how bad does that
bubbly.
Make you feel that she thinks that she let you down? That's how much she thinks you care about her.
I do care about Lisa Goddard. I care about
in
all of
her. In a very special tingly way?
Oh, my gosh.
I care about all of her CNN correspondents. Are you saying that...
Do you care about Ed McCarthy the same way that you care about Lisa Goddard?
Yes, boy, not in the same way.
Exactly.
To the same depth, though, so to speak. I saw a picture of Ed McCarthy the other day. Some listener created the greatest thing. I should post it. It was for a pseudo-event, and it was... Because we keep talking about bringing the CNN people to town. And it was for, the Rick Emerson presents the CNN All-Stars live in Portland, and it was like a pseudo-concert poster. With, the snapshots of all of, with the headshots of all of the CNN people. And even Pat St. Clair and Laura Caviezel. And at the bottom, it's like, Pat St. Clair and Laura Caviezel not to appear. You know, which was great. So wait, I'm kind of under-caffeinated. So are you saying that you think that Lisa Goddard thinks that I feel bereft? That I feel...
I think you haven't made it... unknown how much you care about Lisa Goddard.
I don't understand what that means.
I think she probably knows that you have a little bit of a crush on her.
I believe it's Lisa Goddard who has a crush on her.
Okay.
Here's the thing. This is why she has to get married. She has to get married to close off that avenue of temptation for her. That's why.
You are creepy.
No, she has to close the door.
Okay.
That's the thing. Lisa Goddard has to close the door.
So you are so hard to resist that she has put the barrier of marriage between the two of you.
I don't like to brag,
okay.
Sarah. A man doesn't like to blow his own horn.
Sure.
By the way, attention, Scotty J. So you did not bring that up. So she brought that up of her own volition.
No, but the funny part is when I first talked to her, she was like, how's Rick doing today? I'm like, hey...
Why would you ask, Lisa? we'll ask Roop. We're going to have Roop on later. Just, by the way, attention, Scotty J. 70s U.S. heartthrob, David Cassidy, How old would you say David Cassidy is going to be?
I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to say 52.
56. Releasing a greatest hits album titled Could It Be Forever? The Times of London Saturday magazine recently interviewed the modern-day version of Cassidy in Los Angeles and accused him of being vain and paranoid. Listen to this. You want to talk about the bitchiest? Listen to this. Quote, if ever there was an illustration that fame is a cruel and capricious bitch, it is a 56-year-old man who for 5 brief years was the most desired person on the planet. Now dabbing on thick foundation makeup and a slick of coal to bring out the green of his weary eyes. Just sad. And listen to this. His album.
That is so funny.
David Cassidy's Greatest Hits album. How many songs would you imagine are on David Cassidy's Greatest Hits album?
14.
Two ways this can go.
5.
24.
Ooh. Oh.
Seriously, how many David Cassidy songs can you name? Go.
Maybe 2 or 3.
Go. I think I love you.
Come on, get happy. I think. Yeah. Come on, get happy.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I love you.
I think I love you. And then there's another one that I can't think.
Something.
Ba
ba ba baby.
Yeah. Okay.
24 songs. There you go. The good news is you could probably get him on now. Again, this is probably a second chance, Scotty.
A lot of people don't realize that when he was, like, working in Vegas in the Technicolor Dream... Danny Gans is awesome.
I'm just
Technicolor Dream Code thing. He was actually really, really talented, so we'll get him on.
You know, your childlike devotion.
Too bad David Cassidy has your personal phone number and scolded you.
To that ancient religion.
Finally, I'll amount to something.
Okay, here you go. I'll give this with you so you can remember. There you go. Thank you.
Good luck, Scotty.
Good luck. I just want to wish you good luck. We're all counting on you. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this.